Memory Path, the Stories of the Stones. The memory paths are designed to offer an intimate and profound knowledge of the places and communities that live there. Each proposed itinerary is made up of both places and events. In fact, in the path we will follow, we will tell the personal stories of women and men, or the events of which they were protagonists. We are convinced that in this way, it is possible to understand the essence of the identity of a territory and, at the same time, how certain values have become the living heritage of a community. In this case, we propose a particular urban itinerary. The path develops through stages that include stops in front of commemorative plaques of events linked to personal stories of great intensity, but which have also marked the recent collective history of the city of Bologna during the Second World War. The goal is to free these stones from commemorative rhetoric and give them a new life. Our attempt is to give meaning, through narration, to the sacrifice of those who did not hesitate to risk their lives for a better world. A true testament in which the true heritage is made up of ideas, dreams, and hopes, but above all by the example of these women and men for a freer and more just world than the one they had lived in. This is our duty, so that their sacrifice was not in vain. For these reasons, we decided to call our itinerary The Stories of the Stones. The itinerary includes as its first stop Piazzetta della Vittoria in Casalecchio, site of the Cavalcavia massacre. On September 8, 1943, many young people took to the mountains and joined the partisan struggle. The city was the protagonist of a massacre, Exidio del Cavalcavia, by the Nazi fascists. 13 partisans, captured in the Battle of Rasilio on October 8, 1944, were barbarously murdered 2 days later, on October 10th, in the Piazzetta della Vittoria, under the overpass that still crosses the railway line. Tortured and beaten and tied with wire around their necks, they were exposed for a week as a warning. The very cruel system of reprisals will make one think of the SS of the executioner of Marzabotto Walter Retter as responsible for this tragedy. 6 Italian partisans died and 6 Russians, former prisoners of labor camps. Among the victims was also a doctor of Costa Rican origin, Carlos Collado, who had joined the partisans in the ranks of Giustizia e Liberta. The Second World War was particularly disastrous for Casalecchio. During the 41 bombings, many houses were destroyed, and in the last air raid, the bridge was knocked down and an entire neighborhood, the Fondazza, was completely razed to the ground. For this reason, Casalecchio was called the Casino of the North. On April 10, 2003, the President of the Republic awarded the Medal of Civil Valor to the city of Casalecchio for the bombings of which it was the involuntary protagonist. There were 140 civilian victims due to war causes, 9 civilian victims due to reprisals, and 16 partisans were killed, 3 also in the locality of Cacca in Bologna. Our journey continues towards the Certosa Cemetery, along whose wall there is a plaque dedicated to the massacre of 6 partisans, including Francesca Edera di Giovanni, the first female partisan shot by the fascists. She showed her great fighting spirit until the last moment, despite being 19 years old at the time of her execution. Another plaque, not far from here, indicates the place where the body of Giovanni Martini was abandoned. Known as Paolo of War, in December 1944, he led the attack on the prison of San Giovanni in Monte, where political and common law prisoners were freed. He actively participated as vice commander on the field in the Battle of Portalame, being one of the brightest spirits of the Bolognese resistance. The route continues towards the Stadio Renato Dallara, where there is a commemorative plaque dedicated to Arpad Wise, unforgettable coach of the Bologna football team in the 1930s. Due to his Jewish origins, he was a victim of the racial laws in Italy. His life was sad and suffering and ended in Auschwitz, where, with his entire family, he was killed by the Nazis. A short distance from the stadium is the house of Irma Bandiera, where she was brutally killed by fascist squads after 7 days of torture. An exceptional picture of the Italian resistance, she showed, despite her young age, what loyalty to oneself, to one's principles, to one's comrades means, but above all her courage to defend and fight for rights and freedom, not only for herself, but also for all those who would come after her. Irma Bandiera was born in 1915 into a wealthy family from Bologna. Irma Bandiera began to help the soldiers who had disbanded after the armistice and to take an interest in politics, joining the Communist Party. In Fiuno, small village near Bologna where she went to visit relatives, she met a medical student, Dino Cipollani from Argelato, the partisan Marco. Irma then joined the resistance, which was very active in the lower Bologna area at the time, with the battle name Mima, in the 7-Gap Johnny Garibaldi Brigade of Bologna, the Patriotic Action Groups, GAP, formed by the general command of the Garibaldi Brigades at the end of October 1943, were small groups of partisans who were born on the initiative of the Italian Communist Party to operate mainly in the city, based on the experience of the French resistance. The militants of the GAP were called GAPisti. On August 5, 1944, the partisans killed a German officer and a commander of the Black Brigades, unleashing a reprisal in Fiuno the following day. 3 partisans were arrested and taken to the schools of San Giorgio di Piano. On August 7, 1944, Irma Bandiera had transported weapons to the base of her formation in Castel Maggiore. On the evening of August 7th, she was arrested at her uncle's house, together with 2 other partisans, and was also locked up in the schools of San Giorgio, but separated from her companions, she was then taken to Bologna, where the fascists hoped to obtain further information from her on the resistance. For 6 days and 6 nights, Irma was savagely tortured by the fascists, who went so far as to blind her with a bayonet, but Irma resisted without speaking, thus protecting her partisan companions. The fascists finally shot her with several gunshots at Melanchello Arc in Bologna, near her parents' house, on August 14th. Irma's body was found on the pavement near the ICO plant, a medical supplies factory, where her torturers had left her on display for an entire day as a warning. She was then taken to the Institute of Forensic Medicine in Via Nerio, where the Guardian, a friend of the resistance, took photos of her face devastated by torture. Irma was finally buried in the monumental cemetery of the Certosa in Bologna, accompanied by her family and some friends. On September 4, 1944, the Bologna Federation of the Italian Communist Party circulated a clandestine paper in which it recalled the patriotic sense of Irma's sacrifice, inciting the people of Bologna to intensify the partisan struggle for liberation from Nazi fascism. From here, continuing towards Melanchello and then via Saragozza, you reach the 3rd stop on the itinerary, the monument dedicated to the 128 female partisans of the province of Bologna, located in the Villa Spada Park. A place rich in history, especially memories of the Risorgimento. The monument was built in 1975 by the architects of the Città Nuova group, also authors of the Sabiuno Memorial. We continue along via Saragozza and reach via Albergati. Here you can see the infamous building, located at number 6 of the street. In this anonymous building was located the security service. The security service was a special unit of the SS in charge of identifying crimes or potential enemies of Nazism and suppressing opponents. The SD was the agency that collected information, while the Gestapo was the executive agency of the political police system. The visit continues to the Facoltà di Ingegneria. This place played a key role in our journey because it was occupied by the Nazis and fascists on September 9th, 1943, and from that moment on it became the headquarters of the occupation soldiers, a role that continued until the liberation. During this entire period, the Facoltà di Ingegneria housed the investigative office in charge of fighting the resistance. The partisans, or those who were suspected of being so, were arrested, locked up in cells located on the 1st and 2nd floors of the building, where they suffered the most inhuman torture. Our journey ends at the Memoriale dei Martiri Partigiani, strongly desired by the first mayor of Republican Bologna, a place that serves as a memorial to all the Bolognese partisans who sacrificed their lives for our country. The shrine began to take shape as early as April 21st, 1945, when the city was liberated from Nazi fascist occupation. Groups of women spontaneously began to post photos of their loved ones on a wall of the town hall in the same spot where many partisans had been shot. The fascists themselves ironically called that spot the refreshment point for partisans, referring to the soup kitchen established by Francesco Zanardi inside the Sala Borsa. There, the bodies of those executed were left exposed as a warning to citizens. Thus, the first nucleus of the shrine was formed, often referred to as the Altar of the People or the Altar of the Martyrs. During the 1940s, it was the subject of debates for its preservation, given that it was exposed to the elements, but above all following a fire on April 23rd, 1947, that destroyed about two-thirds of the reliquary. A committee was therefore formed with the aim of erecting a definitive memorial, which was joined by individual citizens and local personalities, associations including the ANPI, Italian Partisan National Association, but also banks, the municipality, and the province. The definitive project, curated by the architect Giuseppe Vaccaro, was inaugurated on the 10th anniversary of the liberation by the mayor Giuseppe Dazza, and subsequently by a senator of the Italian Republic, Giuseppe Saragat, on April 25th, 1955. On the night between the 13th and the 14th of February 1973, it was the victim of a fascist attack, which was responded to by a demonstration on the following February 17th. On June 5th, 2009, it was also defaced with fascist graffiti.